My name is Sheila, and I have the privilege of welcoming you all here on this lovely Sunday morning. Good morning. If you are new here, we're so grateful to have you. If you've been here for a few weeks and have never filled out one of those Connect cards, we would love to connect with you. There's a table in the back that you can drop that off. I'm a little short of breath. I was just moving some water bottles on the little break there. And then I ran up here. I'm like, oh, here we go. So I'll catch my breath here. But if you want to fill one of those out in the Welcome Center in the back, you can. There's a gift waiting for you and someone to meet you there. So that is back there for you. Today, after the service, there's a group of 33 of us leaving to go on a American River float. So with the youth group today. So that's what I was moving water bottles for real quickly. But we're really, really excited for today. Would you pray for us this afternoon as we're floating down the river? It's going to be, I'm really, really looking forward to it. But yeah, if we come to mind, but you'll see a group of us kind of leave right after the service for that. So, and now I want to invite up Maddie and Andrew for an announcement.
Good morning. I feel like I'm up here a lot right now, but we just wanted to introduce to you what Good News Club is. I know I mentioned it when I was first brought up here, and so we wanted to share with you what Good News Club is and how you can help and volunteer with clubs in Amador County.
So, can you guys all hear me? In Southern California, my dad is actually the local director for what's called CEF. Probably have heard of CEF, Child Evangelism. They do multiple different kinds of outreach ministries for kids that are gospel-oriented. And one of the ones they do throughout the school year is called a Good News Club. And they do it usually, it's either right outside of a school, the school property, or it's a teacher hosts it in their classroom. But it's a club that it shares, does games, stories, songs, memory verses, all geared around sharing the gospel with these kids in the schools. And so I just wanted to come up here and say that's moving up here. That's one of the things I'd like to be able to see more up here, some clubs. We have two currently in this area. One is in Jackson and one is in Sutter Creek. But we do need volunteers, people willing to even just come and be an extra pair of eyes and ears to hang out with the kids, to listen to them say a memory verse or sing songs with them. So I'll be in the back, and there's Sylvia Sorensen and Chris Kazad, let me know if I said that wrong, are the two people that are involved with the clubs. And one or all of us will be in the back after the service. If you'd like to come, just find out more about Good News Club. We would love to get some volunteers, any age. Obviously, teenage and up, probably. Kids, you're going to want to join it. You're going to want to have fun, right? You don't want to be leading it, be teaching it. But there's lots of ways in Good News Club to help. You don't have to be a teacher. You can just be there to be around with the kids, make sure things are going smoothly. If you are interested in teaching, we are planning on putting together kind of a little mini training through CEF, just so for those of you who might be interested in that. But yeah, I hope we can get a few volunteers. The more volunteers we have, the more clubs we can have, and the more kids we can reach with the gospel. And so that's the goal. So if you are interested, I will be in the back to after the service. So.
Thank you. It's so exciting to have them here and a part of our children's ministry, and which comes right into our next announcement. Starting next week, we will have a table in the back for the Fall Festival coming up. So that is, I don't know if, how many of you have been a part of that, but at the in downtown Jackson on Halloween, we take it's the El Dorado Savings. We take that parking lot, and there's games and candy, and it's a great way. I think lots of repeat kids come back because they love coming to that. So we're going to need a lot of hands on deck for that and a lot of candy. So you can kind of start thinking about if there's something you would want to do, a game or even bringing candy, volunteers. But next week there will be signups for that, and Maddie will have more information for you to meet with her next week on that. So the baby bottle campaign is over, but if you still have your bottle, please bring it. I see there's some on the table back there that got turned in today, but bring it to the office this week if you can. They get handed on to other churches to then be filled and turned in. So that would be great. And today is the last Sunday for the Encouragement Incorporated. So there's the tables in the back. So if you haven't, I know last week we had some notes on the table to fill out, or not on the table, on your chairs, unless you're sitting on the tables here, but in the chairs here to fill out. So I know I had one delivered last week, and it was such a blessing to have that. So if you can think of someone that you would want to encourage and just thank for something, or anyway, words are meaningful. So that will get delivered if you do fill one of those out. And yeah, I just want to ask you to join me now. There are three ways to give, or four ways actually to give here at Grace. We've got a box in the back. There's a Vanco app. You can mail in, and then there's a QC code on your bulletin. So there's lots of different ways, but thank you for continuing to give, even for, like today, youth group ministry happening. So we're really grateful for that. So would you join me? Lord, thank you just for today and just for each person here, and just the gift of having a church family is, and just being with one another and encouraging and worshiping together and going into your word together, Lord, what a gift that is. And I do pray for each person here today that you would meet them where they are at as you so do, Lord. And yeah, we just welcome you to this space. And I do just pray for our activity this afternoon with the youth, just for just meaningful connection and just yeah, we would all be a little more drawn to you today as we spend time together with one another, Lord. And we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Isn't it so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord and his fellowship? A scripture reading for this morning will be Luke 16 and 10, one verse. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who... Oh, gosh, I have my glasses here. Sorry about that. I thought I could read these bigger letters, but that one, sorry. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Thank you.
I want to welcome you this morning. Good to be here. Be present. Be engaged in worship and in this part of our worship service to open up the Word of God and to hear from the Lord as he speaks to us in language that is clear. I love that. Sometimes when you think about the mysteriousness of God and trying to discern his ways. But God, because he loves us, has given us his written word in language that we get to understand. And he uses stories about people, stories about his actions, how things began, and his precepts in order for us to know him and to live a life that is worthwhile and good and enjoys a great relationship with him. He's not trying to hide in any way. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. Not trying to hide. I love this. And this is a part of this worship service where we get to open it up and read in clear terms God's will for us. So as we do that, will you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we are so grateful for your love for us, that you have revealed yourself in special and unique ways so that we might know you. And having known you, our lives would be transformed by a relationship with you. So God, we pray for help this morning as we discover what is your will for us. And we pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Sunday number 2 in our series that we're currently in, entitled My Purpose, God's Glory. And I love this subject. It is one that I have been intrigued by and curious about for my own personal life ever since I was a little boy. I think in junior high was the first time I had an inclination that God wanted something from me, some special purpose that I was supposed to fulfill. I didn't know exactly what that meant in junior high, but it revealed itself in all kinds of ways, even in those early days of my faith in Jesus, even as a little boy. Any kind of reports I would give in front of the classroom or written reports, it all reflected who God was and his work in my life. You know, somehow I'd weave it in there, you know. Like, for instance, in seventh grade, we had science class, and we had to write a whole paper on evolution. And so I did. I correctly outlined what are the terms of evolution and what is meant by it and so on. But at the end of the paper, so that's fulfilled the requirement of the class. But at the end of that paper, I wrote a whole different couple of paragraphs on my view about how this world came to be. And no one read that except for my teacher. And so it was just one of the ways I felt like I just really want to do, God, what do you want from me? What is it about my life that's uniquely designed by you to add value to the world around me? What is it? And so it's been a lifelong discovery for me. And I don't think that I'm an expert in this with regard to all the categories, but I am an expert at discovering the will of God for my life. And I believe that we can all be experts if we put some time into this to discover what does God want? How has he created me to give to the world around me in such a way to reflect his glory and add value? I want to know that my life has had meaning. It has had purpose. All of us want that, right? And we ask that question here and there, but we sometimes are guilty of not doing a lot of work to really discern that, and it does take work. So that's what the purpose of the series is to do the work necessary, to ask the right questions, to reflect deeply, to talk to people around us, to observe different ways that God has presented himself through the circumstances of our lives, all of our lives. If most of us in this room have lived quite a few years, right? We have a lot to draw from as to how God has directed our steps to this point. And all of that pays into knowing today, what is God's design for me? What is his purpose for me right now? So I'm excited about it. I love this. So the purpose of today's passage is this. And the title of today's message is Dream Big, But Start Small. I think every big vision, every plan, whatever we dream, how God is going to, you know, use my life, in some way, we have to begin in the little things. We have to start small. And that's really reflected in this verse. One who is faithful in very little is also going to be faithful in much. And then the same is true. If you're dishonest in little things, you're going to get dishonest in much. So it really, the do or die in the bigger things happens in the small things. So the question we're really trying to get to the root of today is, what are the small and consistent choices I am making today and each day that will reveal God's purpose for me? What are the small and consistent choices that I am making today and each day that will reveal God's purpose in me? It's dream big, start small. And our goal is what, and this is where we left last Sunday, the last question. What is my particular purpose, right? We all have the universal purpose. Love God with all our soul, heart, and strength. We have love our neighbor and ourselves, to make disciples of all nations, to tell other people about our relationship we can have with God, and so on. That's the universal purpose, but we're narrowing it down to, what is my particular purpose? So I hope that you, this past week, have been reflecting on different ways that God might be revealing to you about how he wants to use you for his glory, to give your life meaning and purpose in the day-to-day. What is my purpose? It takes work. It takes reflection. Okay? Hopefully you've been doing that. If you haven't, it's never too late. This is, you know, here's the deal. I'm one person, right? I'm an expert in God's purpose for me. And it's still being revealed to me, by the way. It's not a singular thing. But I am quite a disadvantage to knowing God's particular purpose for you. It is the work that you must do, that all of us must do. And it starts in the day today. All right, so what does that look like? So for me, I think it's best stated this way. In order to discover my purpose, I must live with purpose. I must open my eyes every single day with a plan. I have to order my steps every single day in order to accomplish certain goals, right? I mean, we know this is true of life. If I have a big job to do, to accomplish. So, for instance, Martha and I have the great privilege later on next month of seeing our daughter being married to her fiancé. Well, that's really exciting. It's a huge event. But when I think about the big picture, I get a little overwhelmed by the amount of things and the amount of money it takes to pull off a wedding, right? Anybody been there? Yeah, lots of us, right? And so I get overwhelmed by that. So what Martha and I did, what makes sense to us, is we broke it down into a bunch of little tasks that are doable today. And so each day I wake up, in order for that big thing to be pulled off, I've got to do a few things today. And I have a bunch of lists with little check boxes, and there's just such deep satisfaction of checking off those boxes. Anybody a box checker? I am a list maker, a box checker. I love seeing things get done. It just brings joy to my heart, joy to my soul. In fact, I have a confession. I am so into this that if I were to do something in my day with purpose and accomplishing something that wasn't on my list, I don't know if anybody can relate to this, I go back to my list, I write it down, create a box, and I check it. That feels good. Yes. Living with purpose, right? So for us to live with purpose as believers, we have to know kind of the order and plan of things, how God is working in the universe among people, which are his favorite aspects of creation, in order for us to find meaning and purpose joining in that work, okay? So today is leading a little bit of a foundation for hopefully having that, putting ourselves in a position to every single day make the small and necessary purposeful choices to live our life with purpose, which I believe will lead us to the greater purpose of God for our life. Some of you already know this. Some of you are already practicing it. Some of you already know the greater purpose of your life. And I hope that this study will even clarify it more deeply or reinforce it, because sometimes we feel like, well, I thought I knew what God's purpose is, but right now I just not feeling it so much. I hope you'll find in this series some help with all of that. So the first thing I want us to consider is the reality of the created order. If I'm going to live with purpose, I have to understand, I have to believe as a Christian, and I do, that all of the universe is created with a sense of order. And it's created with a sense of right and wrong. Okay? And so where do I get this idea? Well, I turn to Genesis chapter 1, like you may as well, right? At the end of the 6 day, I believe in a 6 day creation that God spoke and the universe leapt into existence, and he systematically, with great thought and design, created our universe with order. And at the very end of that, after 6 days, he's created Adam and Eve, everybody, 6 days, it's all done. The Bible says at the very end of chapter 2 that he says, he looked at everything that he created, and he says, oh, it is very good. This goodness of the created order of things reflects God's laws in the universe that we must abide by in order to live a purposeful life. When we fight against it, life doesn't go quite as well for us in practice. Okay, let me tell you what I mean by this. So when God created all things, he created it with order, that it's good. There's a sense of righteousness, doing the right thing versus the wrong thing. Justice, how I act toward you, my neighbor, right? Am I doing right by you or am I doing wrong by you? A sense of justice. And of course, wisdom, living life skillfully, living it well. Am I listening to the right voices? Am I rejecting the wrong voices? Am I making good daily choices that will reflect a successful life or a skillful life? All of these things are a part of God's created order. And if we live in accordance with them, the Bible says our life is going to be filled with meaning and purpose, and it will actually go better. The Bible goes so far as says your days will be lengthened. You will have prosperity in some cases, you know, if you're just doing the right thing. What do I mean by all this? Is that like an example of the created order? We've talked about this in our Proverbs study. By the way, if you want the particulars of the created order of things, come to the Proverbs class, 9 a.m. It's going to be great discussion week after week, unfolding the skillful wisdom of God. So, for example, the physical universe God created with order and design. He put Earth in a particular place in our solar system that one author calls the privileged position, the privileged planet, because our planet, above all of the other planets in our solar system, is the only one that can sustain a high quality of life and abundance and weather systems and so on that feed and nurture and self-sustain our planet and so on. And God's holding it all together. And that's where he put us, by the way. He didn't put us on Mars. He didn't put us on Jupiter. Why? Because we couldn't live there. He puts us on the privileged planet so he can reveal himself to us. And we live in this space in his created order. So if we were to fight against, for instance, one of the physical laws of our universe, like gravity, there are natural consequences to assuming that the law of gravity does not apply to us. If I jump out of an airplane without a parachute, for instance, believing with all of my heart that gravity does not exist, the reality of the created order will remind me very quickly about the law and the consequences of ignoring the law of gravity. Same with categories in other places like telling the truth. Honesty will get you much further in life and a much smoother existence in life than dishonesty, lying, cheating, stealing, right? You might get ahead a little bit faster by doing one of those other things, but in the long run, it's going to cause a lot of problems for you, for your own personal health and well-being, as well as your relationships with people. God created the world in a way so that we could exist and find great meaning and purpose in it, right? Does that make sense? And it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. This is my argument. It doesn't matter whether you believe in God. Our world, this represents reality. Whether you are a Christian or a Muslim, there is right and wrong. Someone who tells the truth consistently will have a better life than someone who is lying consistently, okay? Someone who's cheating, there'll be consequences at some point versus someone who is dealing with people fairly and justly, okay? So let's leave God out of it for a moment, but we as believers believe that the reason that there's created order to all things is because it's all created by God himself. In fact, the first chapter of Proverbs says this, "The fear of the Lord, or the honor of who God is the beginning of wisdom." And wisdom, by the definition of the proverb writer, is living a skillful life, living within the created order of things. So God created all this thing with all these things. But that was really a profound statement. God created all these things with all these things. You can quote me on that later. But he created these lists of things, example of this. But soon after creation, we know that Adam and Eve made free will choices to choose to lie or choose to act outside of the created order that God had set. And God had warned them there will be consequences to that. And when they did, God, who is a just God, said, yeah, these are the consequences. Death will now be a part. Your life is going to be negatively affected from this day forward now that sin has entered the world. And fast forward, we see that on the other side, there's all these other things that are now a part of our life in addition to the good created order of things. Thankfully, God has a plan that redeems all things, that even in the midst of chaos and disorder and evil, wickedness, corruption, foolishness, God can rescue us out of this. And God, in fact, has a plan to rescue the entire world from the negative consequences of sin in humanity. But we have to start in agreement. If I'm going to live my life with purpose, and that starts with my daily choices, I have to first of all recognize There is a created order of things. There is right and wrong. And every time I do right, it's going to go better for me. Every time I do wrong, there's going to be a natural consequence to that action. Okay? And every society built on this reality is going to do well, right? I believe the United States of America, whatever you agree or disagree about, thankfully, we in our social structure uphold order, goodness, righteousness, justice, and wisdom. Now, we may disagree on the definition of those terms in the United States, but we are founded on these principles. I believe that's why our nation is prospering. To the degree that our nation is beginning to sway or drift from these essential principles, there are going to be natural consequences to that. It's not going to go well to the people who live in a nation who is upholding, calling evil things good or wicked actions not sinful. There will be consequences. It's not going to go well for the people. Now, an extreme example of this is a nation like North Korea, who I just read in the news. Now, everybody's, this is the time of year where hurricanes are coming through and tsunamis and all, not tsunamis, but hurricane season. There's another big event. There's a natural weather event. My words are really eloquent today. But these things are happening all around the world. It's part of the fall of the world. It's some of these cataclysmic events happening on the East Coast right now with Helene and all of that. We need to pray for them. But similar things are happening up in North Korea. Weather patterns have come in, the flooding. And in their case, they experience thousands of deaths due to extensive flooding in North Korea. I don't know if you read this news article, that the retaliation for this terrible event where thousands of people lost their lives in this extensive flooding, the leader of North Korea decided the answer, the solution was, I'm going to gather my trusted leaders and I'm going to say, you are in fact at fault. And why there was so much flooding and this weather hit us the way it did. And so he had them all executed. 30 people executed because of the flooding in North Korea. So when you ignore the patterns of justice, goodness, righteousness, which I believe is happening in a country that does not honor God or does not honor the order of things as they are created to be, the people suffer. There's oppression. There's death. There's little chance for someone existing in some of these spaces of the world to really live a life with purpose apart from the hope that is found in Jesus, okay? So you see the contrasts of this. So that's all reflected to the created order. So if I'm going to live with purpose, what is my purpose? I must first of all pattern my life in accord with the created order of things, and I'm saying as a pastor of a Christian church, that God is the one who is at the center of it all. He wants us to prosper. He wants us to experience fulfillment, meaning, and purpose in life. And he said, this is how you're going to experience it. Align your life this way. And when you don't, there are negative consequences to that. The second thing is that we have to understand the plan of God. Not only is there order into the design of everything and the rights and the wrongs of the universe and societies, there is also an overarching plan that God has in place that begins in creation, created all things good, right? But it allows for chaos and sin and wickedness and injustice, right? Because God is a just God, those actions will have a punishment, right? So God, who created all things for his glory and to have a relationship with mankind, when sin entered the world and separated man from him, the consequence being death, but then we know the consequences get bigger and bigger and bigger as mankind grew and the wickedness grew and so on. God has this plan to rescue humanity by paying for their sin, which separates them from us from him, by sending his son, Jesus Christ. So God became a man. He walked on this planet. His name was Jesus. And he did so as the Son of God. He was like a man, just like a person, just like you and me, subject to everything about life that we are subject to, even suffering and hardship and pain and betrayal and these things that are so unsettling for us. Jesus lived it all, yet as the Son of God, he did so perfectly. So when he went to the cross, an unjust death, wrongfully accused, he was innocent, he willingly went there. Why? Because his death, he was dying in our place. He was paying, according to God's justice system, in full the penalty for the sin of humanity. And so when we place our faith in Jesus, God is rescuing us from our path. This is the path of rightness that will lead us to relationship with him, and sin has caused us to head this toward this path of separation from God. God is rescuing us through his son by providing a means of forgiveness for the very things that separate us from him and include us by cluing us in with the plan. He tells us the details of his plan, which, by the way, if we fast forward to the end, if you go all the way to Revelation, we have this great book, the Bible, that God gives us in English to describe to whom who he is and what his plan is. If you go all the way to the end, we see two things happen. One is everybody who's placed their faith in him are rewarded for faithfulness, and we get to live with God in the new created order of things. When he restores all things, we get to live with him forever. And the second thing we see is everybody who had all the opportunity to see the created order, to recognize who God was, to hear the message of the gospel, and have rejected it, there is, a natural consequence to going down that path. And we see judgment in the end. Anyone who goes to the next life, there's only one life to live. After death comes judgment. We as believers who have placed our faith in Jesus, we're free of that judgment. We are guaranteed to come into his presence and live with him forever. And as God is a just God, those who have willfully and consistently neglected who God was, participated in actions that were opposed to him, will also reap the reward of those actions, the natural consequence, which is eternal separation from God. This is God's plan. He has clued us in on it. He has invited us to participate. So his plan includes the church, all of us here in this room, and the church all as exists all around the world, the church universal. He uses people. Now, I wished, in some ways, don't you, that God wouldn't use people to accomplish his plan. That's a lot of pressure, right? I know my imperfections. I know I've got limitations. Right? I know I don't always do the right thing. I don't always say the right thing. God, why don't you just part the clouds and just say, hey guys, here I am. And you do it like every day. Every day at noon, wouldn't this be cool? Every day at noon, we knew, it's like, oh, lunch break, let's go outside, look up. God says, hey guys, parts the clouds, here I am. Just reminding you, good stuff you're doing. Hey, you guys over there need to work on stuff. Time's running out. You know, just reveals himself in this way. So just, whoa. However, God, the scriptures say, has revealed himself in many ways, but he chooses to use us, his people. He says, I want you to be a part of my plan because it requires faith. How are people going to understand that I am in the business of forgiving and reconciling unless I use the people who have been forgiven and reconciled? In all of their flaws and imperfections, all of their limitations, all of their shortcomings, I want them to proclaim that it's not about them being perfect and intrinsically righteous. It's about them putting their faith and trust in me, and I will use them for my glory. So God creates all things with order. He sets the rules. When we abide by it, it's just going to go better for us. And when we reject him as God, there are consequences to that. And now he has a plan to bring about all things back to order. And those of us who place our faith in him are going to join him in that process. And we have the business of trying to rescue as many people as possible and say, come on, there's deep meaning, there's purpose. The God who created it all, who loves us so desperately, he sent his son Jesus to die for us. He paid the penalty that we justly owe. And we can live our life. Eternal life starts now. And we have that message as the church to humbly, because we know how flawed we are, how imperfect we are, to humbly proclaim to fellow beggars where the bread is. To humbly proclaim that God loves us and he has a plan for our lives, and there are consequences to those who reject him. So, created order, We understand the plan of God. God invites us. If I'm going to live purposeful with my life, I have to understand these things. If I'm going to make daily choices, they have to be in alignment with these things. Which leads us to my last point, which is really important for us to see. Oh, this is a great verse, by the way, with regard to understanding the will. Look carefully then as how you should walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is in accord with his plan. It is on me to live my life wisely, understanding what the will of God is, his plan. So, thirdly, this is the greatest aspect of this, and that is the gift of redemption. That God has a plan that uses the church universal all the way down to individuals, and it's not, when it comes down to it, my understanding of my purpose has less to do with me just simply aligning myself to the created order of things. Because there are a lot of good people out there who pretty much align their lives to the created order. They're living wise, skillful lives. They're checking into work every day. They're not lying. They're doing right by their neighbor. They're upholding just causes. They're giving money to worthy things. You know, they're investing. They're good friends. You know, I have a lot of friends who fit in that category that behaviorally, they're pretty much they're working within the system that God created. But they don't have a relationship with God. What we possess to really give our life purpose is we have to understand this act of redemption means that I personally can now have a relationship with the creator of the universe. The Bible says that he himself, when our sins are forgiven, we place our faith in Jesus, he comes to dwell in us. We have the Spirit of God come to dwell in us, and we have a new way of thinking. We have been given the mind of Christ. We now can see whatever we were blinded to. Now we see how the world actually works, and we can work in accord with it. Because God has come to dwell in me personally. So here's the point I want to make with regard to this. If I am trying to discern God's greater purpose for me, yet, and I understand these things, God's created order, his plan, and I have placed my faith in Jesus. My actual experience and understanding of God's purpose for me is thwarted. Even if I've checked all those boxes, is thwarted if I'm neglecting my relationship with God. God speaks to us clearly through his scriptures. I can pray and have conversation with God. I can, if I trust God, I can begin to take steps with my life of faith that says, God, you've told me I can do this. I don't know. I feel weak. I don't feel worthy, but I'm going to do it because you've told me to. And the very God himself who dwells in me gives me strength and power to do the things he's called me to do. But if I'm neglecting my relationship with him, I'm neglecting the power of God that is available to me to clearly understand his purpose in the world. Because this is complex stuff. Because we know that not only is the good things, we recognize that's a part of God, but we don't always understand why God allows chaos, why God allows evil, why God allows these things, except for the patience of God. If I know God's plan, I know God is a patient God. He is waiting to give people opportunity to come to him. He is showing kindness and mercy and love to bring about repentance in people's hearts. And so I'm so grateful for his patience. But if I need to know God on a daily basis, if I am to also understand his patience in the world, why isn't this stuff happening faster? Well, Jesus, you said you're going to come back. Today's a good day to me. Come on, Jesus. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Come, Lord, come quickly. I pray that when I'm in my lowest moments, when I'm so frustrated with the world and the chaos and the evil that's touched my life, I'm like, I just throw up my hands like, Lord, if you could just come today, that would be great. It is the hope that we have when those evil and painful and difficult things touch our lives. It's what keeps us going. And God, in his wisdom and in his patience, is waiting. For us to also have that same patience, we have to cultivate this rich relationship with God within us. So what are we doing today? What small choices am I making today that will put me in a position to understand God's purpose in my life? And this is the reflection that we are taking home today. Last week was, you know, beginning to pray, God, what is the particular purpose you have for me? This week's question, in addition to that, is what are the choices I am making today, the small, consistent choices I'm making today that will put me in a position to understand what the will of God is, what his purpose is for me? What am I willing to do today and every day? Let me give you some examples. We have to have a regular practice of reading God's word. We have to have a regular practice of reading and understanding God's word. How do I know God's will? I mean, he's spelled it out. We were studying in Proverbs. Let me just read this. This is God's wisdom. So wisdom personifies. This says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffings and fools hate knowledge? Wisdom is crying out. God himself cries out. But we can stay, we can choose to stay on the path of being simple and allow foolish choices to be a part of our life. But when we open up the word of God, we get to hear his voice and the clear understanding of who he is and his will for us. And we get to walk away each day with something, how some way God has spoken to me very personally through the word of God. Right? Is that a daily practice in our life? Is it a daily practice for us to commune with God in prayer? Prayer is one of those hard things. If you're like me, I'm the ADHD guy, you know, where I could start to pray, but immediately my mind is wandering to something else. And like, I'm praying. You ever been in prayer and all of a sudden you find yourself scrolling on your phone? It's like, how did that even get in my hand? Right? You know, hey, you're not alone. Prayer is hard. Prayer requires focused attention and repetition and practice. And so let me help you with two things if you struggle with prayer like I do. One is I pray through the Psalms. The Psalms, if all of the scripture speaks to us, the Psalms, it has been said, speak for us. They're like prayers to God that include just praising God and trusting him. It includes being really in the lows and say, God, where are you? Wake up, God. These are quotes from the Psalms. They include, Lord, I feel like the enemy is at the gate. I'm doing the right thing, but the enemy's still there. How come you haven't removed the enemy yet? These are all prayers of the Psalms, from high praise to low lows to everything in between. So I find it helpful to pray through the Psalms. It gives me words that are very relatable to me. Second of all, I write it down. I write down what God's revealing to me. I write down my reflections on the scriptures. I write down my prayers. Because if I am writing sentences, it just helps my mind to focus. It's just a really practical thing. That's all I'll say on that. So those are helpful things. Read God's word. Pray every single day. Because that's start, and it's helpful to do it in the morning because that helps you start your day. Everything else comes out from there. Then through your day, you ask a simple question. God, what is it you are telling me in this current situation? How is it that I can reflect your character and plan in this place as I raise my kids, as I go to work, as I sit in this class and study my books, as I'm pursuing this degree? Whatever it is, whatever position you're in, God, through my daily experiences, God, how are you using me for your glory? This morning, we come to church, And you're doing, you know, you're aligning your lives with God's purpose by even being here. You're hearing encouragement from the Word of God. You're participating in worship. You are sacrificing your finances to say, God, you've given me everything. I'm going to give you this, trusting you that you're going to make that gap go away. You're going to supply all my needs, even though I just gave a chunk of it away. These are all acts of obedience and trust in God. You're already doing it, right? Good job. Kudos. Also, we've heard this morning, several needs. Like, man, there's this great opportunity to minister to kids, you know, that are, you know, out after school coming and being a part of these backyard clubs, right? These good news clubs that are happening. There's a outreach in our community that we do, our what we call the Fall Festival on Halloween night, where we, you know, put all these game booths in the parking lot at El Dorado Savings, right downtown Jackson, right after the Halloween parade. All the kids are showing off all their costumes. They just flood that. We minister to up to 500 and plus kids on that night. We need a lot of help to do that. You guys are awesome at saying, yeah, I'm going to do that. It's those kinds of things. We have needs in our nursery. Do you know we love babies? But apparently, not only one of you loves babies, because we need help. help people back there holding babies so that parents can be in here and be encouraged by the Word of God. We need help in our nursery, right? So talk to Janisa in the back. If you want to help, there's never end to things that are needed. And all we're saying, when we say faithful in the little things, all we're saying is, what do I do today to bring glory to God? How, God, are you using me? And I'm going to make faithful choices every single, that are little. Yes, I can give of my time one Sunday. Yes, I can be a part of that outreach. Yes, I can, you know, I have this need right in front of me, this coworker who is carrying a heavy thing out to their car. Hey, can I help you with that? Where we just stop in our day, just be alert to moments that God gives us to do something, to be available for Him. If you pray this prayer and you live your life this way, you will be shocked at the rich meaning and purpose that begins to flood your life. You'll start connecting the dots with your prayers and the answers to those prayers. The worship team, come on up here. Here's the deal. The last thing I want to say. There was a season in my life where I was like, I felt, you know, because I'm introverted, I don't interject myself into people's lives that I don't know, or like, hey, you know, they probably don't need my help or whatever. Oh, that person has struggling over there. Somebody ought to help them, you know. But I don't connect myself with that, you know? And so there was a season of my life that I said, God, I hate that. I'm about myself. I'm going to reject passivity. Every time you give me an opportunity, I'm just going to act on it, even though I feel really uncomfortable and it kind of goes differently than my natural inclination, because I just want to be used by you. I want to be available to you. I, for a month solid, I can tell you that I have never seen more need around me to help somebody with their groceries or return a cart back to the front of the grocery store or to, that month, no lie, I had three opportunities to pull over on the side of the road and help somebody change a flat tire. It was the month of flat tires. I rarely see someone on the side of the road, right, that's fixing a flat tire or something. That month, because I said, God, just use me. And everyone, you know, that's a skill that my dad taught me. I could change a flat tire. And so I did three times in a month. It was crazy. So I started carrying stuff in my car that would help with that process. I carried gloves and everything, because, like, man, every time I go away, what do? Your hands are filthy, you know, all that stuff. It just, you'd be blown away when you decide, how am I going to be available to God in the small things? How He floods you with purpose and meaning to your life. He reveals how active He is in the little things in your life. And as you do that day after day after day, then the bigger purpose God reveals to you. You poise yourself, you position yourself to know it, and it becomes clearer and clearer. So let's end our service singing this great song. We haven't sung it in a while. Available reflects our heart to say, what small choices am I making today that puts me in a position to know my purpose? Let's end our service with a word of prayer. Father, We commit our hearts to you. Use us in whichever way you want. You have wired us. You have equipped us. You've created us. God, we long for our lives to be filled with purpose. We choose today to honor you with the little things. God, help us by the power of your Spirit and your word, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Grace and peace to you today.